We give the King the praise as we receive our Father in the Lord, God's apostle to our lives, apostle to our nation, apostle to our generation, a generational eye-opener trailblazer. Give it to Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was and is to come, and who does every good thing. Keep on celebrating Jesus, the King, the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I have the choir leaders in this song? Unto the Lord be the glory, great things is done.
Choir.
God has been so good. His goodness is evident here. His mercy is evident here. His hand is evident here. And His glory is evident here. Come on, give the Lord the biggest hand of praise, everyone.
Great things He has done. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things He has done. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things He has done. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things He has done. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things He has done. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things He has done. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things. Oh, great things He has done, greater things He will do. Unto the Lord be the glory, great things He has done. Oh, great things He has done, greater things He will do. Unto the Lord be the glory, great things.
Hallelujah. Shall we pray, please? Lord Jesus, all of the glory goes back to You undeservedly for Your manifest presence in this ministry the last 25 years. Thank You for proving Yourself strong and mighty in advancing Your work as entrusted to Your servant. Receive our thanks in the name of Jesus. We understand from Scripture that we can do nothing without You. The battle is not to the strong. The race is not to the swift. It's Your grace that makes the difference. Receive our thanks concerning this ministry tonight in the name of Jesus. You also said, except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that build it. You have proved to be the builder of this great work. Receive our thanks for building Your church in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father, for Your manifest presence in revelations and diverse manifestations in signs and wonders. Since the inception of this ministry, receive our thanks in the name of Jesus. We will return all the glory to You because they all belong to You. Thank You for how You started with us last night in this great event. Thank You for what You will do tonight, and I to be on the increase to the end of the week. Receive our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless everyone gathered here tonight. And take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord one more time a big hand of praise and be seated. Please, you may be seated. I want to congratulate the set man over this work for your obedience of faith, your tenacity of pursuit, and your openness to keep learning. I want to celebrate God for the two of you, for the awesome grace that's evident in your life. My prayer is that this grace will never be abused, but will be on the increase in the name of Jesus. And like my friend said, the president of the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria, a long-term covenant friend of mine, I'll tell you more stories later. Praise God. Amen. You have not seen anything yet. Greater days still lie ahead in the name of Jesus Christ. You have not seen anything yet. Greater days still lie ahead in the name of Jesus Christ. So shall it be. Church, help us again. Give glory to Jesus for his good hand upon this, his servant and his wife, in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. I'll be speaking to this subject tonight, and I want to believe it will leave a blessing for every one of us towards operating in the realm of exceeding grace. Towards operating in the realm of exceeding grace. Grace is behind the making of every believer, including every ministry and every minister. Behind the making of every believer, every ministry, that of course includes churches, and every minister, is grace. Paul the apostle, the foremost apostle of Christ, said, I am what I am, not because I was a lawyer, not because I was very zealous in my father's religion. I am what I am, not because I'm an erudite scholar. I am what I am, not because I read a lot. I am what I am by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I'm what I am. And the grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain. But I labored, more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that enabled me to labor. So everything about us as individual believers is rooted in grace. Rooted in grace. Our salvation is a product of his predestination. Our salvation. Before the children were born, Jacob and Esau, having never done any good or evil, he made his choice. Jacob, have I loved? Esau, have I hated? Before they were born. So we are all evidences of the grace of God at work. He predestinated us unto salvation before the foundation of the world. So we have our root in grace. We can only have our growth and development in grace. The grace of God. There are no ceilings on the destiny of believers in the kingdom. The path of the justified is ordained to be as a shining light that shines more and more and more and more unto the perfect day. More and more, not more or less. We have a destiny of no limits in Christ. Oh, we scale new heights as we grow in grace. We scale new heights only as we grow in grace. We also understand that God's grace is always accompanied with His glory. The Lord will give grace and glory. Psalm 84 verse 11. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord God is His sun and His shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace and glory. Hands in gloves. Grace and glory. God's grace is always manifested with His glory. Wherever you find His grace, you find His glory. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. But growing in grace is a covenant requirement for going from glory to glory. Growing in grace is a covenant requirement for going from glory to glory. And this is one fundamental thing we should keep behind our mind. When you don't acknowledge His glory, you stand to lose His presence in your life. Grace is what puts you and me where we are. It's only grace that can take us to where He has ordained for us. We must keep acknowledging His grace so we don't suffer grace failure. No one can be anything more than the grace of God makes him. Now, growing in grace suggests that grace is in degrees. Grace is in levels. Grace is not a static virtue. It has capacity to grow and develop. So the journey begins with grace, like we have at New Birth. We are saved by grace through faith. That not of our own is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. By grace are we saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So grace brought us into salvation. Titus 2 and verse 11. So we connect with grace by faith. And then we have multiplied grace, which comes across through revelation. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace multiplies by knowledge. Grace multiplies by the revelation knowledge of God. In 2 Peter 3:18, he said, grow in grace, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we experience multiplied grace through increased revelation of the world. And then we have great grace. This comes across through strong anointing with great power, gave the apostles witness of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. As they prayed, Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 33, the place was shaken where they were gathered together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with great power. So anointing enhances the flow of grace. and great grace flows through the anointing. The Bible calls it strong. So when the anointing comes, grace flows. Grace flows. In the early church, the Bible says, and the Lord gave them favor before all men, grace. Grace just flowing for free in response to the anointing. And now we have exceeding great faith, exceeding great grace, exceeding great grace. This comes through strong faith. Strong faith, call it trust. What commits God's integrity to perform. God's integrity to manifest himself, like we saw in the fiery furnace. The word says, God delivered his own servants that trusted in him. Unusual grace was made manifest in the fiery furnace that came across through strong faith, trust in God. There was no even smell of fire on them. Their hat and their coat were all preserved. There was no sign that they went through fire. Yeah. Unusual grace made manifest through strong faith. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Stepped out at 75. And everything God said he would do concerning him, he did. He considered not his own body now, which is as good as dead, in the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Exceeding grace, answers to strong faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15. 1 Corinthians 9, please. 1 Corinthians 9, 14 and 15. Even so had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live by the gospel. Sorry, please. 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians 9. And verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God that is in you. Exceeding grace of God that's in you. We saw such exceeding grace upon Paul. But hear what he said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was just operating another world altogether. By strong faith, he just commanded dominion over all impossible situations. A man was lost in the sea and got back to preach overnight, not a diver. He was torn and dragged out of town for dead. Nobody prayed over him. They don't know how to pray over him. He came back by himself. Unusual grace manifested through strong faith. Strong faith, exceeding grace of God, exceeding grace of God. I see us moving today into another level of grace in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. I see us moving today into another realm in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Exceeding abundant grace. Flowing through strong faith. And then number five, we have all-round grace. The Bible calls our God the God of all grace. Grace on all sides. A raw manifestation of grace on all sides as it relates to our life, our ministries, and all of us as ministers, and all members of the body of Christ. We serve the God of all grace, which implies all-round grace. Grace on every side. Grace that keeps all things working together for good at all times. He said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All run grace, and it comes through undeserved, unconditional love for God. Undeserved and unconditional love for God. All run grace. All run grace. That's God's realm for us. As members of the end time church of Christ, it's remembered that some must enter into that rest. And the way to do that is to have God's presence that causes all things to keep working together for good. He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. The God of all grace, no aspect left behind. Grace working strongly at home, at work, over the life of our spouse, our children. Grace at work on every side is a product of unreserved, unconditional love for God. For eyes have not seen, nor ears have. It has entered the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. God's presence allays fears. And every defeat is traceable to fear. So when we succeed in carrying his presence, we have destroyed fear and we have destroyed defeat. All these are levels of grace that redemption has provided access for us into. No one will suffer grace failure again. In the name of Jesus. Let's go through a few of the covenant steps to growing in grace. What are the steps to growing in grace? Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things, before beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. To grow in grace, you must be steadfast in your walk with God. Now, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So there must be a way to grow in grace, or there are ways to grow in grace. Number one here, be committed to engaging the fear of God as a lifestyle. Shall we continue in saying that grace may grow? God forbid. The word abound means to grow. Shall we continue in grace in saying that grace may abound? God forbid. Paul, the apostle of grace, said, you are witnesses and God also. How holily. Because things are changing too fast. Things are, the speed is too much in the opposite direction. You are witnesses and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves before you all that believe. Grace cannot grow with sin. Grace cannot grow with sin. Now listen, there is no unforgivable sin with God, but there is no sin God will forgive without repentance. If we say we have not sinned when we have sinned, under any theological cover, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not looking for who to kill. He's not trying the death of a sinner. He wants them to return. Grace cannot grow with sin. Grammar may grow. Communication skill may grow. But grace cannot grow with sin. And we can't fulfill our glorious destiny in Christ without grace. We cannot fulfill our destiny in Christ without grace. We must be committed to engaging the fear of the Lord as a lifestyle. We must be committed to walking in the newness of life to see grace grow. If we are not, we are simply deceiving our own selves. Shall we continue in saying that grace may abound? God forbid. Let's read that because it's very vital. The days we are living in requires that we go back to those scriptures and not take them out of context. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in saying that grace may abound? The word says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's not to assume we must walk in newness. If any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things must pass away and all things must become new. We must not use experience to interpret scriptures, but let's use scriptures to interpret scriptures. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And he made the list of all of them. And it's the same Paul. He didn't say, now you are free. You can do anything you want. You are covered. God can't love you any less. Caution. Do you want to grow in grace? And grow in glory? Then take it. Take it. Number two, be committed to a life of continuous yearning for increase in the knowledge of the word. It's given us all things that are made for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us unto glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1:3. Those who do wickedness or wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt the flattery. But those who do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. The way forward is yearning after increased knowledge. Because grace multiplies by knowledge. The more of him we come to discover, the more of his grace flows into our life. Paul, the apostle of grace, said, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give your own inheritance among them that are sanctified. The word is called the word of grace. The more of that word we imbibe, the more of his grace flows into our lives. Let's stay committed to the study of the word if we must grow in grace. In 1 Timothy 5:17, count them of double honor, he said, those who are elders among you, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. They labor in the word and doctrine, so they enjoy double honor. The glory that grace brings begins to manifest in their life. Let's settle down for the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that will not be ashamed. Amen. The opposite of glory is shame. And grace is what carries glory along. So when we are word empty, the glory begins to fade. We need to settle down with the word and make it the guide of our life. And then we shall never see shame anymore. I believe this event will mark the end of every trace of shame in everyone's life in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, we must be committed to a lifestyle of meekness. A lifestyle of meekness. A lifestyle of meekness. Moses was very meek above all the people that were on the face of the earth. Very meek. And you could see the grace of God heavy upon his life. Very meek. And then you find out there in that's Numbers chapter 12 verse 3. In Exodus chapter 11 verse 3. And Moses was very great. Very meek. Very great. And the grace of God is the maker of every man in the kingdom. My God. Very meek, access to great grace that made him very great. And there was not a prophet since Israel became a nation like unto Moses, whom God knew face to face. Amen. He was 120 years old. His natural force was not abated. His eyes were not dim. Grace so heavy, God buried him directly. Nobody knew the burying place of Moses. Very meek, very great. You know the reason why? The meek shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The meek shall he teach his way. When we stop learning, we start losing. When we stop learning, we start losing ground. When we stop learning at the feet of Jesus, we start losing ground to the enemy. It takes meekness to keep learning. It takes meekness to keep learning. It takes meekness to keep learning. Let me drop this here as prompted by the Spirit. The Lord said to us to double the number of cells in our churches this year. That was in January. And I said, Lord, we have exhausted the little we know from all the resources we have. How do we go about it? And inspired my spirit to identify those members of the church who are cell ministers, who has record of successful, great cell growth. So, because we have a lot of data on all those things, so we're able to find those who develop 5 cells in 2 months, those who develop 9, I mean, who grew into 7 cells within 6 months, to find out what they did. From people that I taught, who have applied what they learned appropriately and generated results. So, we got a number of them, maybe 100 plus, I can't remember precisely, and synthesized, analyzed them to find out what they did that led to that dramatic growth in their respective areas. And so, we did a seminar and then got everybody into it. unusual visitation. The greatest visitation of our life in cell growth and devil. The greatest visitation of our life, learning from members of the church who got results. It's so easy. We put their names, put their areas and prophecies, what they did, how it grew, and then we taught the people how to plug into it. Unusual thing. 10,000 cells, 15,000 cells, 20,000 cells. My God. And then across our church network. Awesome. There's a state where they had about 200% growth in cells. Fire. Learning from those that you taught. It takes a lot of meekness to keep learning. It takes a lot of meekness to keep learning. It takes a lot of meekness to keep learning. And if permitted, the maker, a believer, is the greater his access to grace. We can make our choice. It's not about looking pious. It's about a willingness, a readiness to learn from every available source. From every available source. We must remain committed to a lifestyle of meekness before the Lord. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you. There are some who are going through quite some challenges. It's not unscriptural to be challenged, but it's unscriptural to be defeated. It's not unspiritual to be challenged, but it's unscriptural, it's anti-covenant to be defeated. Whatever is born of God is born to overcome the world, and he overcomes by faith. And faith comes by hearing and understanding the word in the area of your challenge. So you don't hang around and waiting for it to happen. No. Changes don't occur on their own. They are made to occur. They are made to occur. Number four, be committed to building your faith. It's a principal channel for the flow of grace. We are saved by grace through faith. Saved by grace through faith. Faith is a principal channel for the flow of grace. Let's build our faith. Let's turn our plastic pipes into steel pipes. Let's rescue our pipes from being destroyed by those who are cultivating their farm. You can't cut a steel. Strong faith. And we all know that faith is in levels. There is little faith. There is great faith. There is very great faith. And there is exceeding great faith. So faith is in degrees. And the more of the word we imbibe, the stronger our faith becomes, and the greater the flow of grace. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The second hearing is understanding. Faith comes by hearing and understanding the word of God. Ethiopian Eunuch was reading the scriptures, but did he understand it? And Philip joined that chariot. Do you understand what you are reading? How can I? Except someone should guide me. And when his understanding opens, here is water. Can't be baptized. Can't I be baptized? When his understanding opened, he stepped out of darkness into light. Faith is hearing and understanding the word. Hearing and understanding the word. I read the materials of Kenneth Copeland and his wife. I've read that four times. But I've not seen what I saw working in them. So I went out to go and find out. Show me. I've had it. I've read it. But now show me what it is that they use. And then light sprang up. And it changed the course of my life forever. We read until we understand. We listen until it dawns. That's how to build our faith. It's not just hearing and then walking away and clapping. We must get to the point of understanding in it. Number five, we must be committed to a lifestyle of prayers. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let us come boldly, Hebrews 4:16, to the throne of grace. God's throne is the throne of grace. You have not because you ask not. Let's ask God. This is a task you have given me. I need your grace to see it through. I can't do it without you. Let's engage the altar of grace for release of grace. Let's stay committed to it. We need this help all the time. Send us help, O God, for vain is the help of man. Man's help is limited. You sleep alone on your bed, your helper is in Canada. I mean, if you are challenging, right, that's all. We need him to remain our helper. Number six, be committed to a tireless and fruitful stewardship lifestyle. Serving God increases his grace on our life. But I labor more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Among the graces we encounter in serving God, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. Grace of supplies. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Grace of healing, health, and wholeness. There shall not be barren or cast thy young in the land. The number of your days I will fulfill. The grace for longevity is in our spiritual stewardship. You want to grow in grace? Then engage your little strength. And let me engage my little strength in serving the interest of the kingdom on earth. And no matter where we are, God sees us. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro in all the earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect towards him. Let's keep engaging. He that winneth souls is wise, for instance. And the wise shall inherit glory. And glory is a companion of grace. Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 3:35, the wise shall inherit glory. But shame shall be the promotion of fools. So when we walk in the wisdom of God, particularly in the area of the pursuit of souls, after souls, which is God's number one interest on the earth, we just grow in grace. Hallelujah. We just grow in grace. Well, we are not doing that to be saved by people or commended by people, but doing it unto God from the depth of our heart with the right motive. Then we grow and develop in grace. Number seven, be committed in growing your love for God. We must be committed in growing our love for God. What the apostle said, what shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? He was just dead to self and alive to God. Unusual grace just flooding his entire life. Love. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So the hotter our love for God, the greater is grace upon our lives. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, it said that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So as we grow in love, we begin to increase our divine content until we are filled with all the fullness of God, who is the God of all grace. So all areas of our life just keep experiencing the overflowing grace of God. As we keep growing up our love for God, greater grace begins to manifest in our life. Let's stay committed to it. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things, all of them, that others are struggling to experience, others are struggling and dying to get, they shall be added to you. Unusual grace. And what does that mean? What's the greatest commandment of the Lord? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Matthew 22:36-40. Is there? You walk in love in increasing dimension. You find everything answering in your favor. All things working together for your good. All things. From all fronts. From all sides. That's going to be your experience from after this convention. You begin to see the grace of God raw in all areas of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me say this at this point. There is no great man in the kingdom. It's the backing of the great God that makes ordinary men look great. There is no great man. We are not living in a world of accomplishment. We are living in a world of engracement. Engracement. We are not achievers. We are just ordinary people engraced by God. He said, faith is in according to thee, who also will do it. God said he will build this sanctuary and he built it. So we don't have a pride in it. He did. Without me, you can do nothing. Except I build you, labor in vain. He did. When you see your life as a product of God's multifaceted grace, you will be humble. You will celebrate him forever. You keep appreciating him forever. Grace is the maker of all men in the kingdom. You will be made. You shall be made in the name of Jesus Christ. Number 8, as we draw in towards the end, be committed to a lifestyle of delightsome obedience to every divine instruction. You know, God speaks to us at all times in our devotion, in our meditation. He gives instructions. Most of them we just toss aside. We just toss them aside. But grace grows with obedience. Grace grows with obedience. We have some dimension of grace when we were in the lorry. God was blessing us. We give him glory for it. Then he said, now arise and get down to Damascus. So we moved to Kaduna. And we saw greater grace than we saw there. And then when we thought God had settled us and thanked God for what he's doing here, he said, arise and get down to Lagos. And he knew I hated Lagos. He knew that I hated Lagos inside out. And then another dimension of grace came down. Grace answers to obedience. Grace answers to obedience. Grace answers to obedience. I can of my own self do nothing. That was just said. As I hear, so I judge. And my judgment is true. John chapter 5 verse 30. Obedience was his strongest point. Was the anchor of his mission on earth. Obedience, 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 obedience. And then had the worst temptation of my life to move to altar. My God. Ah. Agony was bad enough. I mean, the natural. But grace came down. Unusual grace came down. Unusual things began to happen. And then, now, move to altar. And don't open no church in Lagos. Shut down these buildings I built. He built it. And I had them. I'm not a fool. Anybody wants to see the work he does preserved. So we shut down the church and moved to that forest. First Sunday, I asked everybody to come to one arm. There's no point scattering yourself. Come to one arm. And then, in the course of ministry, I told them, I said, we'll soon start two services here. How do we feel it first to start two services? Unusual grace came. Obedience will always attract more grace. Let's settle down and obey God. Let's settle down and obey God. Can I tell you why many of us are now out of touch with instructions? The last one he gave you didn't do it. And it is one instruction after another. One instruction after another. When you stop obeying, he stops instructing you. Now listen. Jesus came down to Peter. Move your boat a little, I want to preach. Yes, sir. No contract. He came out. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately, he stood up. Every instruction you obey brings you the next. You obey the next, you have access to the next. And every act of obedience changes our level. Let's open up to a lifestyle of delightsome obedience. Not obedience by coercion. Not, okay, I will not have done this, but you know. Delightsome. Blessed is the man that feared God, that delights himself greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. For the upright, there arises light in darkness. My God. He shall guide his affairs with destruction, with discretion. He has given to the poor. Amen. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and gnash with their teeth. That desire shall perish. Now it's all packaged in delightsome obedience. When you are on course with God's instruction, you are indestructible. When you are following his instruction to the letter, he's your defense. He goes before you, he goes with you, he goes behind you, he's all around you. Obedience. Obedience. We saw it in Abraham. Get out of their country, and so Abraham departed. Circumcise all the firstborn in your house. As soon as God left, he started it. Take your son, your only son Isaac. And now his generations after him are blessing the world. I curse every activity of the spirit of disobedience in any one of us. Just simply saying sorry to your spouse will douse the crisis. But here is somebody, he saw it. God said it to him. Say, no, in my family we don't say that. A man who says sorry to his wife has finished his life. Okay, where is that written? It's not. He's not interested in what he claimed to be interested in. We are going places. A lifetime of delightsome obedience will always bring us into higher dimensions of grace. Higher dimensions of grace. Number 9, be committed to maintaining a good conscience at all times. Paul brought to light a lot of light on the subject of conscience. We can short circuit the flow of grace for lack of a good conscience. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some haven't put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, crash. You are deceiving someone and you know you are deceiving him. You know that you are inside you, you know. Doesn't work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul testified on what this is all about. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, that is interpretation, simplicity, godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you all. You know us. Again, he said in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. These are all definitions of a good conscience. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth at all times, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You saw the way Absalom went. I want to go and make sacrifice somewhere. He was deceiving his own father. Now, he made his father to walk out of the city barefooted, with his hands on his head, crying. But so how Absalom ended. Anyone without a good conscience is heading for a crash. Anyone without a good conscience is heading for a crash. Again, my prayer is that no one here will suffer a crash in his walk with God. No one will suffer a crash of his destiny. These are all simple things, and by the time we are in grace, we access the grace of God, then we are free from all those issues in our lives. It doesn't come free. Paul said in Acts 24, verse 16, he said, and herein do I exercise myself. It's a product of an exercise. To have always a conscience that void of offense towards God and towards men. I exercise myself. I'm not waiting for it. I know I must uphold a good conscience, so I won't let any dirty thing cross my mind and disconnect me from God. I can't survive. I don't have a future without God. And that goes with us. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, number 10, be committed to a lifestyle of giving. 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 Giving is the secret behind the grace of abundance. Giving is the secret behind the grace of abundance. But giving itself requires grace to engage with it continuously and tirelessly. I want you to understand the grace of God upon the church of Macedonia. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 to 3. And this was a very poor church. He said God bestowed one special grace upon those churches. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. What a paradox. For to their power be a record, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Pleading with us with all entreaty that we should receive the gift. So as you abound in knowledge, in faith, and in your love towards us, see that you abound in this grace also. Verse 7. See that you abound in this grace also. So we cannot experience the grace of abundance without engaging with the giving grace to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and then we get to that. Verse 6. But this I say, he which sweat sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sweat bountifully shall reap bountifully. Therefore every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Be committed to a lifestyle of giving cheerfully, joyfully, excitedly. You are provoking the release of the grace for supernatural abundance. Having all sufficiency in all things. All sufficiency in all things. That's what the end time church will be walking into. May you never lose your place to anyone. So in your various churches, ensure that you are not doing it as if you are helping the church. You are building your assets into the realm of the grace of abundance. It's not going to come by prayer. The Lord told me, he said, my prosperity plan is not a promise, so it does not answer to prayers. My prosperity plan is not a promise. It has no respect for fasting. My prosperity plan is a covenant. Until your part is played, I am not committed. I see unusual grace for wealth coming upon the end time church and coming into your house. He said, wealth and riches shall be in his house, not through crooked means, and his righteousness endureth forever. And his righteousness endureth forever. And it stems out of delightsome obedience to the laws of abundance, which anchors on giving. I release everyone here into that realm of abundance. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Just 2 points more to go. Be committed to a lifestyle of joy and rejoicing to keep the grace flowing. Joy and rejoicing to keep the grace growing. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and 48, we have this alarming thing here. He said, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee. Let me have you say, God forbid. So, obeying God is not enough. Serving God is not enough. We are required to keep serving God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. So the blessing that should come from me will not be turned to a curse. We must be committed to a lifestyle of joy and rejoicing to keep the grace flowing. In Joel chapter 1 and verse 12, all the harvest of the field is perished because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Therefore, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. It's the dawning of a new day for you. It's the dawning of a new day for every one of us. It's the dawning of a new day for every one of us. Where our joy ends is where our harvest is lost. Let's connect, and the grace of God will be available to help us all the way through. Finally, number 12, every change of level we experience in our walk with God must be promptly acknowledged to avoid a crash. Promptly acknowledged. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 15 to 17. The word says, hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And when you look for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Prompt response to every manifestation of grace you experience in your life. Prompt response, prompt response, prompt response. Heart-born response. You are not just talking with the tip of your tongue, it's from the depth of your heart. This is your grace at work. Jesus, acknowledge it. Why must we do that? Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. He says, you know, hear and lay it to heart. To give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts. I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, your labor, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. God forbid. No one here shall suffer a crash. You will not suffer a crash. In Psalm 28 verse 5, because they regard not the works of the Lord, neither the operation of his hand, he shall destroy them and not build them up. He shall destroy them and not build them up. God forbid, that will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. Finally, the grace of God is transferable. And it usually flows from a higher source. The grace of God is transferable. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The grace of God is transferable. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Water never flows uphill. Water usually flows downhill. This is the problem with today, generation of believers, a lot of pride and arrogance. Many can't find any worthy example around them. No. Many don't have anyone qualified to lay hands on them. No. And suddenly the wrong grace dries. And everything gets grounded. Grace is transferable. Paul said in Philippians 1:7, ye are all partakers of my grace. Ye are all partakers of my grace. Grace is transferable. I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to the end that you may be established. Romans 1:11. Grace is transferable. Grace is transferable, but it usually flows from higher vessels to lower ones. The free flow of revelation that I've been privileged to enjoy to this little level came through grace that rested upon Kenneth again. Heavy. I knew when it came. I knew what it began to do in my life from that 1986 to the glory of God. It always flows from higher vessels to those who believe they are not at their level yet. And it flows freely. The grace for access to kingdom prosperity, to the little level we enjoy today, came from the grace upon Kenneth Copeland. Life and direct, no guesswork. Grace usually flows from higher vessels to others. The grace for supernatural church growth came through Yongicho into my life. Since 1965, I began studying him and his work with all intent and purpose. He went to heaven this year, but the same part is still here. His impact is still here. All of these things should help us to reach out to every available channel to connect with any grace we truly desire and covet. He said to us, covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. My unshakable authority over vessels and powers came through the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth. Life far above impartation life. There's always something somewhere that's ordained of God to add color to your life and my life. Look for it. There's always something somewhere in some vessels somewhere around you, far away from you, that you truly desire. Go for it. It always works. To my beloved son in the gospel, this is nothing but just the beginning of new dimensions of manifestations in your life. May you flow in the light unveiled through this short message tonight into higher realms of manifestation. Now, you are 25. I think I'm 21. The things I've been learning since I was 25 in ministry till today is far above all I ever knew when I turned 25 in ministry. There is no finish line in the school of wisdom. There are no finish lines. You just keep growing in it. There are no finish lines. And with a meek spirit, you keep assessing more and more and more insight day and night as you study. Let him that thinks he knows anything know that he does not know anything yet as he ought to know. Again, my prayer is that you are just stepping into a new phase of your ministry. And my prayer is that you never know a setback all your life. 1981, I caught this slide from Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just has a shining light and shines more and more. And I said to myself in that room, I'm not prepared for a better yesterday till I go to heaven. I'm not prepared for a better yesterday till I go to heaven. I'm not prepared for a better yesterday till I go to heaven. And God has kept his word and the little faith of his little child hitherto. We have never recorded a better last year in our ministry. Now, watch and look up here. You'll never record a better last year in your ministry. For all our friends and co-laborers that are in this service tonight, pastors, evangelists, you'll never experience again a better last year in your ministry. Now, great things have happened today, but greater things will keep happening year in, year out. You have seen some great grace, but grace will keep getting greater and greater all your life. year in and year out, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you the joy of it. When you truly connect to any higher grace, you always go to exceed where that grace stops. Because that grace is not added to your grace. There is some grace in you. So you have now tapped to another grace. Others have labored, you enter into their labor. Now that one is now added to the one you have. So you have a way of experiencing more than they did. That's the blessing of it. One of my mentors said, don't say you taught me this. He said, you got more from me than I got. You always get more than your source when you genuinely connect and remain connected. My God, you don't have a spare life. Don't ever allow the only one you have wasted. You don't have a spare life. Don't allow the only one you have get wasted. Treasure it. Hold tight to it. Amen. Paul said, I know no man after the flesh. I'm all out for God. I'm all out for God. You never find me in fight back till I die, that I fight back. Somebody's fighting me and I fight back. No, no, no. He didn't want to fight me. You are the one who thought he's fighting me. Maybe he just made some harsh statement. That's not a fight. Praise God. Just look straight. Let your eyelids look straight before you. You are going somewhere. I've never seen anybody running a race and then addressing those who are insulting him. You are running around and say, look at his head. And I say, is it me you are talking to? When I finish this race, I'll show you. You have already lost it. You have already lost out in that race. Keep going and wishing everybody as well. Keep wishing everybody as well. Maintain goodwill at all times. Don't wish that somebody crash. Don't wish that somebody fall. Maintain goodwill as a way of life. But these are things I should tell you in the room, so I think I should stop here. Now, you know, it applies to all of us. Maintain goodwill. You have a neighboring ministry that is flourishing. Enjoy it. Glory to God. If they are challenged, don't rejoice. Step in whatever you can step in. Whatever way you can step in. And by so doing, you are just flowing in grace. You are just flowing in grace. You are just flowing in grace. My prayer is that this event will mark the beginning of a new phase of grace in everyone's life. Lift up your two hands, everybody, and give God thanks. Give God thanks. Give God thanks. If you got anything tonight, just lift up your hands and give God thanks. If anything came through to you, lift up your hands and give God thanks. If you encounter any light tonight, it came from God. So lift up your hands and give Him thanks. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. Now, our adventure in grace begins with the grace for salvation. The dead does not need grace. Only the living desires grace. And the grace for salvation brings us out of the grave, back to life. Titus 2:11. So if you are here tonight and you are not born again yet, that's where the adventure of grace begins. You must be born again. And that grace has appeared to all men. Some reject it, others embrace it. May you embrace it tonight. If you are in this service tonight and you know that you are not born again yet, that's where He brought you. So, I'm inviting you, wherever you may be, to quickly run to the front and I'll be praying for you. You want to give your life to Christ tonight? Please come. Please come. God bless you. Please come. And keep coming. Keep coming. You want your sins forgiven tonight? Please come. You want your name written in the book of life tonight? Please come. Please come. Keep coming. Keep coming. Church, give the Lord a big hand of praise. They are flowing in from all sides. Keep coming. Keep coming. keep coming. You want to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Keep coming tonight. It's your turn for a change of story. It's your turn for a change of story. Keep coming. Keep coming. Church, give the Lord a bigger clap of praise. There is joy in heaven over one soul that repents. Keep coming. 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 He has ordained tonight for a change of story. Keep coming. If any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Keep coming. Jesus, save my soul. Keep coming. Jesus, save my soul. Keep coming. Jesus, forgive me all my sins. Keep coming. Wherever you are, just keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Move faster. Move faster. Move faster. It's your turn for a change of story. Move faster. It's your turn for a change of story. Move faster. It's your turn for a change of story. Move faster. In the name of Jesus Christ. We are still waiting for you. Keep coming. Church, give the Lord a bigger clap of praise. They are coming. If there is joy in heaven, there must be joy here. If there is joy in heaven, there must be joy here. Please, congregation, you may be seated. There are also people here tonight that need to rededicate their life to Jesus. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to reconnect back to your Heavenly Father. You want to reconnect back to the source of eternal life. You know something has gone amiss. You want to reconnect back to heaven. Please take your seat, ushers, over at that end. Service is not through yet. Ensure you wait until the final declaration of our Father and the Lord before you move. Ensure you wait for that. Please take your seat. God bless you everywhere. Praise the Lord. You want to dedicate your life to Christ, please come. Join us quickly. It's sweet on this side. Glorious on this side. It's fulfilling on this side. It shows. See all the people sitting around you. See the glow on their faces. It works. Please come. Come as fast as you can. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Father.
Place your right hand on your chest. Lift up your other hand. And pray this prayer with me. And mean it with all your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I ask for your forgiveness and your mercies. Deliver me, Lord, from the power of sin. From today, it is my decision to follow you, Lord. No turning back. I receive the grace to live for you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The hold of the enemy is broken off your life, and the grace to live for God is released on you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, counselors are going to go with you very quickly and speak with you. The Lord bless you. Ensure that you take their instructions, and then they will assist you to be established in the faith. God bless you.
Let's move rejoicing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to the kingdom of light. The end has come to the struggles of your life. Now you have become an overcomer. Move rejoicing in your heart. It's done. It's done. It's done. Please, choir, stand to your feet and then just sing your song. Sing any song of praise. Jesus is here. These people have just entered the realm of joy.
I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Lord, I give you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Lord, I give you. Lord, I give you my heart. My soul, I live for you alone. Every breath, every breath.
Well, no mistake. I want to just acknowledge one more time the presence of the president of PFN, Reverend Dr. Wale Oke, in this service tonight, and for that sharp word from the Lord that you brought. Continue to be blessed in the name of Jesus. A long-time partner of mine, a co-laborer, two of them are here, Reverend Dr. Charles Ajinasari from Ghana, you are welcome, and then Reverend Taki Yaboy, you are welcome. God bless you. Amen. So glad to see everybody. You are all getting younger. Amen. Praise God. Well, freely you have received, and freely give. I've received quite a lot from men ahead of me. Let me call them men and women ahead of me. And I freely release all of those graces that have been imparted on my life from those that are lined up on my path. And in the name of Jesus, my prayer tonight is that a new day dawns on your life and ministry. I told you when we turned 25, we put up a 25-year plan that's still running to 2031. Amen. Life is so interesting. There's no guesswork. We have God's control room that unveils agenda to us time and again. You won't miss your steps. Can I request the church to please stand and set forth your hands in this direction and ask God for multiplied grace upon his servants that are here today. Multiplied grace. Multiplied grace. Multiplied grace. Multiplied grace. Multiplied grace. Now, just proclaim those blessings from your heart. Whatever good thing any man does, the same he shall receive from the Lord. Proclaim these blessings from your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I stand on the authority of your word to decree a new lease of grace upon this your servant. Let it flow freely. All that you have bestowed on me freely, I freely release. A new dawn. No better last year. All the days of your life. In the name of Jesus. No better last year, all the days of your life, in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. Give the Lord a big hand of praise, everybody. Lift up your two hands and give God thanks. It's the dawning of a new day. Thank you, Jesus. And blessed be your name, in Jesus' name. Now depart from here today with this multifaceted grace on your life. The grace of God will keep growing in your life. In the name of Jesus. All friends and lovers of this ministry who have traveled all along, all partakers of the grace of God upon this ministry who are here from all across the nations of the world, you'll never return the same. Upon arrival, new things will start happening in your life. New things will start happening in your ministry. In the name of Jesus. You know, like begets like. Everything produced after his kind. On upon arrival at home, whatever grace you saw on this ground will follow you home. In the name of Jesus. Elephants don't give birth to dwarfs, and dwarfs don't give birth to giants. In the name of Jesus, your great God, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Most High, who lives in you, will keep changing your level from now. Every ministry represented here is declared blessed. Every child of God in this house is declared blessed. It shall be the dawning of a new day for all of us. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord a big hand of praise.